Well, thank you for joining us in this time. So I'll be reading Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14 for us as we continue in our study of this New Testament book. So please hear these words. When Cephas came from Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, "If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile, and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews?" So this morning we come to, a passage that addresses perhaps maybe the greatest and most consistent criticism towards our Christian faith, which has nothing to do with things like the reliability of the scriptures or historical evidence concerning the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rather, the continued criticism that is out there that we continue to face actually revolves around hypocrisy, where people have been turned off by the message of Jesus Christ because they have charged the followers of Jesus Christ that their words and their actions do not match. So because of the hypocrisy of Christ followers, they want nothing to do with Christ. So this time here, in this video, I want to be upfront with you. Like, this is a pretty challenging text that I just read for you. A text that offers a look into the mirror that helps us see things that maybe we don't want to see concerning ourselves. This is a text that does not allow us to hide. So I know there's a lot of heated debate right now around the use of masks and how they relate to our physical well-being. And so without trying to diminish that conversation, our text for this time is one that will not let us hide behind the mask of hypocrisy, where we say one thing but do another thing. And this is challenging to us. Right? However, that being said, as the challenge comes to us in our text, I hope this is a text that we actually all can get behind and agree that the mask of hypocrisy is one that we must forsake. I hope that we all can agree that the mask of hypocrisy is a mask that doesn't honor the Lord. I hope we can agree that the mask of hypocrisy not only conceals what's truly going on in our hearts, but it even conceals our joy that we can have and experience as we follow the Lord. I hope we all can agree that the mask of hypocrisy can shame the gospel of Christ and our Christian witness. I hope that we all can agree that our Lord came to die for sin, including hypocrisy. And so because of that, I hope we all agree that we should forsake this mask, the mask of hypocrisy. Now, if you've been with us in our study of Galatians, you should be familiar with the context of the letter by now. False teachers have made their way into the churches in Galatia, and they're teaching a distorted message of Christ. They're teaching a false gospel, which centered on works righteousness as the means of their justification before God. So rather than the message of Christ, which is a message that teaches that justification comes through Christ alone, through his work alone, that we receive by grace through faith, meaning it's not our works that justify us, but we believe the scriptures teach that it's Christ's work. It's faith in what Christ did in his death and resurrection from the dead on the third day. And as the author of Galatians, the Apostle Paul, as he heard about what's happening with the false teachings, the false gospels, he decided to write a very passionate letter, albeit at times a very forward and confrontational letter, with the hopes that his readers would be brought back to their gospel senses. In our study from a couple weeks back, and again last week, and again this week, we actually read some personal stories or testimonies from Paul. So a couple weeks back, we got to read about his personal story of faith and how he came to faith in Christ, which was completely life-changing for him, where he testified that he went from a persecutor of the church to now a leader of the church. So that's from a few weeks back. Then last week, if you're with us, you remember that Paul shared a bit of his testimony concerning Christian fellowship and community that he enjoyed, which were primarily with Barnabas, we see in our passage, and Titus, who traveled around with Paul doing ministry to the Gentiles, which we're going to talk about more in just a bit. We also read in our passage from last week Paul's personal testimony concerning fellowship he even joined with Peter from our passage, and James and John, who had a different ministry than Paul, They were seeking to reach the Jews while Paul was seeking to reach the Gentiles. Yet, Peter, James, and John, they perceived the grace of God on Paul and his community, and they extended the right hand of fellowship to them. So that's where we left off last week. Now this week, as mentioned, Paul is sharing a little bit more of his personal story. This time, surrounding a painful conversation that he had with Peter, who was indulging himself in real public hypocrisy. His words and his actions did not match. His words and his actions did not reflect the truth of the gospel. So here's how we're going to work through this passage in this time. So first, I just want to work kind of verse by verse through this text and give you some comments along the way, which I hope helps us to understand this passage. So that through understanding this text, the Word and the Spirit of God would mirror this text to our hearts and confront areas of hypocrisy that we may be having right now, with the hopes that we would actually turn from hypocrisy and turn to the Lord to receive forgiveness and healing. Then after we do that, I just want to finish this time here by just giving you a bunch of thoughts that I have concerning hypocrisy. So this past week in my study, I tried to ask myself just a bunch of different questions concerning hypocrisy, you know, just try to help me get my thoughts around this topic. So in this section, second part of this sermon here, I'm just going to share a bunch of these thoughts for you with hopes that they will help you also to organize your thoughts around this topic. So section one, and just working through this text. So if you want to look back with me, if you have a Bible with you, if you want to look back starting in verse 11. So we read that when Cephas, or Peter, same person, as he came from Antioch, we read that Paul confronted him. And as Paul confronted Peter, we read in our passage that Peter stood condemned. Right? This was like a no-doubter. So often, you know, there's usually more to the story than we know. Often, more information might like shed light into a situation, help explain the story in more in full, which means often we have to be really patient before we make judgment calls. But in our text, what we see right from go, that this is different. Paul didn't have to like take time to like pray over the situation and make sure he was seeing things correctly. He didn't have to go around and try to organize his thoughts to make sure he had all the right facts. As mentioned, this is a no-doubter here. Peter was acting in such a way that his hypocrisy was clearly condemning him. And the reason why this is such a no-doubter, because of how public Peter's hypocrisy was. In verse 12, for before certain men came from James, which is reference to Jewish Christians from Jerusalem. So before these Jewish Christians, those of the circumcision party, before they came on the scene, we read that Paul was acting one way with the Gentiles. And our text tells us he was basically eating with them, enjoying their company. He was treating the Gentiles as full members of the Christian community. Peter's having sweet fellowship with them. Everything is great. However, as the men from James arrived on the scene, things got really different. And Peter started to act really different around the Gentiles. And our text tells us that he like drew back and separated himself from them. And he didn't pull back because like he realized like how much fun he was having with the Gentiles. It was such a blessing for him to be around them. So he pulled back so the men from James could have the same sweet Christian fellowship with them. Rather, our text tells us that Peter drew back and separated out of fear. Like he was worried how the men from James might view him. He didn't want them to think less favorably of him. So he drew back. He separated himself. He acted differently. He was being a hypocrite. Now, just a little point of clarification that we'll probably be having throughout this time here. It's not necessarily wrong or sinful to act different around different people in different settings or situations. So acting differently doesn't automatically make you a hypocrite. You know, for example, how we act at a wedding is different than how we might act at a funeral. Or how we act at a social setting around our friends is going to be different from how we act around our boss at work. So hypocrisy is not simply like acting different around different people or different settings. Taking it a step further, the Apostle Paul even advocated that at times, out of love, we actually are to act different. So in the book of Romans, he wrote that we are to act differently around those who are like weak in the faith, which in the context of Romans specifically involved eating and drinking, which is actually the context of this passage as well. In Romans, Paul wrote that if eating or drinking caused someone who was weaker in the faith to stumble, then he simply wouldn't do it. Like he would act different around them, out of love for them, out of a concern that they would stumble because of Paul's freedom in Christ. Like he did not want to make things harder on them. So different is not necessarily wrong or sinful or hypocritical. However, the different of how we might act in a wedding compared to a funeral, or the different of how what Paul was advocating in Romans around like weaker brothers and sisters in the faith, acting different out of love for them. This is actually different from what Paul is, or for what Peter is doing in this passage. Peter did not act different because he just happened to be in a different setting or in a different situation. He didn't act different out of love for others. He didn't act different because he didn't want those who came from James to stumble. Rather, Peter's acting different because of love of self. He acted differently out of the fear of man, not the fear of God. He was worried how spending time with the Gentiles, enjoying company with them as equals in Christ, he was worried how that might negatively affect his reputation. He was concerned, like, you know, how many first entry Twitter followers he might lose in doing such thing. He was worried about what his opinion polls, that they might plummet because of this act. Peter acted different because he was simply protecting his own neck. He didn't care about the Gentile Christians. Peter cared about himself in this text. Around the Gentiles, sure, is all gospel grace. Eating to his heart desire, enjoying the freedom Christ gave, enjoying fellowship, community, laughter, love with the Gentiles. But then when the men of James came, as they came with strict dietary practices that they wanted to impose upon the Gentiles, or at least that's what Peter assumed, became different. No longer did he preach and practice the gospel of grace and freedom in Christ. No longer was he willing to show love towards a Gentile and join fellowship with them as equals. He changed. And he's now showing partiality towards the men from James. And he completely pulls away from Gentile believers. Basically the scene. Men from James, yeah, I'm totally with you. You know, those Gentiles and their dietary practices, they're so far beneath us. We know so much more than they do. Surely God loves us the best. And if they want any love from God, they would eat what we would eat. Who would ever want to have fellowship with them? And as Peter is saying this, like he's basically wiping, you know, Gentile delicacies from his face that he just ate. Right? Hypocritically different. And maybe to kind of push the scene a little bit further, let me just give a little bit of word picture here, maybe to kind of help understand what's happening. So say there's a kid who was really good friends with another kid all summer long. Right? These kids were such good friends. They did everything together. They were tight bonds. But then the school year starts up, and the one kid realizes that his summer friend wasn't one of the cool kids. And in fact, like the cool kids actually like to make fun of the summer friend. And the summer friend, according to the cool kids, was like so far beneath them. So rather than taking a stand for his summer friend or rebuking, you know, the so-called cool kids, he basically turns his back on the summer friend. And not only does he turn his back, he actually joins in with the cool kids, teasing, ridiculing, picking on his summer friend. That's hypocrisy right there. That is acting differently out of love and concern for self, not for others. I'll say it again. That's kind of the word picture what we see at this scene. And this is happening very publicly, which is why this was such a no-doubter. Keep going in our text, verse 13. We see that as Peter put on the mask of hypocrisy, it was in the presence of others. It was clear. It was out in the open. And we read that as Peter played the role of a hypocrite towards the Gentile Christians, we read that others did the same. Others joined in. Momentum was being created through hypocrisy. The text tells us that the rest of the Jews also acted in hypocrisy along with him. In fact, even Barnabas, our text tells us, was led astray by the hypocrisy. I mentioned a lot last week that living in community with others means that one of the things we do is actually take a stand for one another, where we stick up for one another who are being pressured into some type of self-righteousness. However, when hypocrisy is present, the opposite happens. And rather than taking a stand for one another for the sake of the gospel, hypocrisy, it starts to snowball. and creates like a self-righteous movement, causing more and more to join in. As more and more are now worried about self and personal reputation, that they're willing to ostracize others along the way to get what they want. So again, that's what's happening at the scene. As Peter hypocritically pushed away from the table with the Gentiles, others joined in with him. But then we get to verse 14 of our text. And we see as this was happening, Paul is having none of it. As he saw what was happening, as this was not in step with the truth of the gospel, he said to Cephas, the Peter, before all of them, right, he says this very publicly, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, which here is specific to a Jewish dietary practice, then Peter, how can you of all people force Jews to live like Gentiles to live like a Jew? Why are you, Peter, justified by faith, enjoying freedom in Christ? But then you making the Gentiles have to be justified by religious works, to be slaves to the law. Peter, you hypocrite. You know the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, which in verse 16, which we'll get to next week, is the truth. The person is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. You know that the works of the law can never justify us, ever. Yet, in your acts of hypocrisy, that's exactly what you are doing to the Gentiles. You are treating them such partiality that your actions are denying them the truth of the gospel itself. You are putting unfair burdens on their life, which you yourself are not even carrying. You know, this is not a pretty scene. And really, hypocrisy never is. Hypocrisy in our hearts, it's ugly. It is not in step with the gospel. Our hypocrisy is not loving towards other people. And our hypocrisy does not bring us joy, which is why we must forsake it. In fact, as you watch this video, if you know that you are playing the role of a hypocrite, where you clearly are acting differently around some people than others, can I just invite you to confess that as sin and forsake it? And to turn to Jesus to find forgiveness and healing. So I know there's so many things that we can debate about right now in the world we live. But we all should agree that we must forsake hypocrisy. And we must help each other to do so. Which actually leads to the second half of this time here. And just some further thoughts I have for you concerning hypocrisy. So I have a whole list. So first, we do need to recognize that we are all hypocrites in some way, shape, or fashion. We all, at different points in different ways, have said one thing but acted differently. Which is probably why we can spot hypocrisy in others so easily. Because we can see it actually in ourselves. Now, because we are all hypocrites, it doesn't make it right. Because we're all hypocrites doesn't mean that we should be apathetic to it, or that we can't call out hypocrisy. Clearly, this is the model that we see in our text. Paul is like clearly calling out hypocrisy. However, because of this reality that we are all hypocrites, we should at least have humility when we see hypocrisy in others. You know, hypocrisy in others should drive us to remember what Jesus taught us in terms of like pulling out the log in our own eye first. You know, the kinds of culture that we live in, like we tend to be really good at calling out hypocrisy in others while at the same time of being really good at overlooking or justifying or blaming others for our own hypocrisy. Second thought. Even though we are all hypocrites, there are some hypocrisies that are just more weighty than others. For example, let's say a nutritionist spends all day telling people to cut out a certain type of sweet from their diet. But then, after a really hard day at work, goes home and sneaks a bite of that same sweet themselves. Right? That hypocrisy is not on the same level as like maybe an evangelical celebrity like condemning adultery, all while at the same time having multiple affairs in private. Right? Both of those scenarios you could label as hypocrisy. But the levels of weight in terms of the damage being done, they're not the same. One is clearly greater than the other. So with that being said, there is a little bit of discernment that we are to have when we're calling out others in their hypocrisy. I mean, every time we see someone doing something hypocritical, we don't have to like follow the model to this passage and forcibly and publicly condemn them. So let me give you just four reasons why the hypocrisy in Peter was so weighty that Paul immediately and forcefully had to call him out the way he did. with hopes that gives us a little bit of discernment as we try to seek this passage, as we try to help each other and call each other out when we see hypocrisy. So first, Peter's hypocrisy was weighty because he clearly knew better. Right? Peter wasn't like this like brand new believer who was just like growing in maturity and in this scene just kind of acted out immaturely. Likewise, at this point, it wasn't like Peter didn't quite understand God's plan for the Gentiles, so he's like basically acting out of ignorance. No, that's not the case. Peter knew better. He knew which was right. He knew which was wrong. In fact, if you remember back to the book of Acts in Acts 10, which happened chronologically in timeline before the scene in Galatians 2, you may remember like how God even gave Peter an incredible vision where God commanded Peter to rise and kill and eat animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. As through this vision, God declared to Peter that he has made all things clean. Which, in short, God was revealing to Peter that he was like basically overturning the Old Testament ceremonial laws, which were markers of distinction that distinguished God's people, the Jews, the Old Testament people, from the Gentiles. So now, through that vision, Peter, he clearly knew there's no more distinction between Jew and Gentiles. He could see that the dividing wall of hostility was now broken down. Jews and Gentile believers, they were part of the same family. They were equal members. The Old Testament dietary practices were not binding on the Gentiles. In fact, later on in Acts, we even see that Peter, he was even like telling this to others. Like he knew the information. He had the correct information in hand. He was fully aware of what was true. Or at the scene, he simply rejected what was revealed to him. And he showed favor, partiality to the men from James, while ridiculing and showing just unfairness towards the Gentiles. Which leads to actually a second thing. Peter's hypocrisy is weighty because he was showing such partiality. On our text from last week, you may remember, Paul wrote that God shows no partiality. Meaning all are created in his image. All of mankind are of value. Starting from the womb and all the way to the tomb. All people are created in the image of God. All people are his image bearers. However, as mankind, we continue to fall into the traps of partiality, where we treat some one way in terms of their value, deeming them to be like more significant, more valuable, but then others we deem as less valuable, less significant. Right? The world history books, including which was being written even today, is filled with like tragic and awful stories of partiality. Where lines of partiality have been drawn in so many different levels, whether it be socioeconomic, race, gender, age, cultural norms and values, geopolitical lines, among so many other ways we've drawn lines to show partiality, where we have hypocritically deemed others created in the very image of God as being of less value than others. In our text, a real part of the hypocrisy of Peter revolved around partiality. Like he's partial to the men from James. They meant more to him than the Gentiles. He was even willing to publicly shame and hurt the Gentiles, to pull back from them because of such partiality. That's weighty. Third, Peter's hypocrisy was weighty because of the effect it was having on others. So we talked about this already in our text. As Peter, as he pushed away from the table, as he pushed away from the Gentiles, we see in our text that others joined with them. The rest of the Jews on the scene, they also pulled back. Even Barnabas, who we read last week, is Paul, part of Paul's community to reach and minister to the Gentiles. Even he is now pulling back. Like Peter's hypocrisy was like a virus that was quickly spreading, that is not dealt with immediately. Like who knows how far it would spread. Fourth. Peter's hypocrisy was weighty because it was undermining the gospel, as it was actually affirming a false gospel. So notice the context of Galatians, false teachers teaching a false gospel of works righteousness, specifically involving the works of keeping the Old Testament law, with the idea that Gentiles, for them to be justified before God, they almost first had become like Jewish. They needed to practice all of the Jewish practices to be made righteous. In our text, with his actions, this is what Peter actually was affirming, this false gospel. Peter, pulling away from the Gentiles, in verse 14, was not in step with the truth of the gospel. That's why this was such a big deal. This was Peter, by his actions, teaching a different gospel. Once again, not the gospel in verse 16 that teaches us that through faith in Christ, what he did, what Christ did in his death and resurrection, that is how we are justified. That's why his actions were so weighty. That's why his hypocrisy was so heavy. That's why it needed immediate and firm rebuking from Paul. You know, this is more than simply a nutritionist sneaking some sweets after hard days of work. This is far weightier than that. And for us, as we seek to confront hypocrisy, we do have to discern the weight. We do have to discern and understand that not all hypocrisy is of the same weight, so we can't confront it in the same intensity. Third overall thought for you, hypocrisy causes division. So I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this just because I've already circled around this a few times already. But this is what hypocrisy does. Over time, it divides us. Over time, hypocrisy puts people into camps, and it draws lines of separation. Talking about this a lot last week. Once again, God created us to live in fellowship with one another. The fruit of the gospel of Jesus Christ is a message that it brings us into fellowship with God and with each other, where through the gospel, the eternal fruit is that we are made one in Christ. We are one body, the body of Christ. And hypocrisy, what that does, it rebels against God in many ways, including this right here. What God has brought forward or brought together, hypocrisy tries to drive apart. Fourth, hypocrisy, we need to be mindful, hypocrisy can be used as a justification for sin, at least tried to be used. So I mentioned at the start of this time, one of the great criticisms of Christianity is that of hypocrisy, which in some levels is true. As I already mentioned, we all are hypocrites, so there's truth to that. But what I've also noticed over the years is that this calling out of hypocrisy has in short become almost like a justification for our own sin. Well, they're just a bunch of hypocrites. And because of their hypocrisy, I can basically do whatever I want. So there's no doubt that when you're on the receiving end of hypocrisy, it does add difficulty, trial, tribulation, pain. It makes things much more difficult. When you're on the receiving end of hypocrisy, it can be really, really hard. But listen, the hypocrisy of others never justifies a sinful behavior of our own towards our God. Listen, when you are on the receiving end of hypocrisy, especially some type of weighty hypocrisy that's really painful, listen, don't run from God in sin. That will not help you. It will only increase your pain and your misery. Rather, when you are a victim of hypocrisy, run to God and cling to God even more tightly than you ever have before. In fact, as you watch this video right now, if you've been on the receiving end of some like weighty hypocrisy, let me just share with you just a couple passages that I want to encourage you with. So first is from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus said this famously. He said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take your yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." As hypocrisy of others, as it burdens you, find your rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Jesus is the one who is gentle, lowly, humble in heart. Bring your pains and your burdens to him. Receive his healing. Know his steadfast love and mercy. Run to Jesus. Let him carry your burdens. Find rest in him. Second passage I want to encourage you with is from the book of Hebrews that says this: "Since then, we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." As your great high priest, Jesus, he fully understands the weight of hypocrisy that you are carrying when others have been being so hypocritical to you. Jesus knows. After all, it was the hypocrisy of religious leaders of his day that crucified our Lord. If anyone understands the pain of hypocrisy, if anyone can sympathize with you, right, it's Jesus. He is the one who can give you mercy and grace in your time of need. Listen, take heart that as you go to Jesus as your great high priest, you go to the one who is without sin. There's no hypocrisy in Jesus Christ, which means you actually can trust in him. Yes, we can be sinfully hypocritical. We can be sinfully different. But you can trust in Jesus, the one who is without sin, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When others have hypocritically treated you, when you have been a victim of hypocrisy, don't turn from God, but turn to him. He will not hypocritically let you down. Which leads to the fifth thing I want to mention before I close. This is simply that the gospel is a message for hypocrites. Because we all are hypocrites. Like we all have sinned. We all have fell short of the glory of God. We all have been separated from God. But the good news of the gospel that we love is that because of God's good and loving heart, in accordance with the eternal plan that he set in motion before the foundations of the world were placed, like he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come and die in the place of hypocrites like you and me, which he did on the cross. As innocent Jesus died for the guilty, so that now through faith in Jesus Christ, we could find forgiveness of our sin and we would be brought into a loving relationship with him, where we'd be set free from having to wear the mask of hypocrisy and set free from the fear of man. You know, as you watch this video and you just know that you're an incredible hypocrite. I mentioned this before, but you know, like your words and your actions do not meet. Maybe particularly in how you like live out your Christian faith. Or maybe like when you're around like church people in a church setting, you have like all the right words to say. But as soon as you leave, like you know that you are very different. In fact, you couldn't be more different. Where your words nowhere near match your actions. If that is you, please confess your hypocrisy to the Lord. And turn to Jesus for forgiveness and for healing. Listen, the good news that we believe is that Jesus loves sinners, even hypocrites. Red Village, may God use our words and our actions to always line up. May they be in step with the truth of the gospel. May they be in step with the truth of the scriptures, so that by grace that others might see us and see our good works and not be turned off from Christianity, but they would actually be turned to Christianity and that they would give glory to God our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you.